O Prophet, proclaim that which has been sent down to you from your Lord, and if you do not, you will not have conveyed his message, and Allah shall protect you from the evil of the people. Thereupon he made the caravan halt and bring down its burdens in mid-journey, and rose in the intense heat of the day of Ghadir to deliver a sermon, calling upon them to listen and crying out to them to communicate Allah's edicts. Then he asked their assembly, "Have I delivered?" They said, "Yes, indeed." Whereat he said, "Allah be witness." Then he said, "Am I not more entitled to direct the affairs of the faithful than themselves?" They answered, "Yes, indeed." Then he took your hand and declared, "Of whomever I am master and guardian, this Ali is his master and guardian. O Allah, befriend those who befriend him, and be the enemy of those who are his enemies. Help those who help him, and forsake those who forsake him." Yet none except a few believed in what Allah had revealed concerning you, and it did not increase the majority of them except in loss. Indeed, Allah had formerly revealed concerning you something which they regarded with aversion. O you who have faith, should any of you desert his religion, Allah will soon bring a people whom he loves and who love him, who will be humble towards the faithful, stern towards the faithless, waging jihad in the way of Allah, not fearing the blame of any blamer. That's Allah's grace, which He grants to whomever He wishes. And Allah is all bounteous, all knowing. Your guardian is only Allah, His Prophet, and the faithful who maintain the prayer and give the zakat while bowing down. Whoever takes for his guardians Allah, his Prophet, and the faithful, should know that the Hizbullah are indeed the victorious.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Sajjad Haida. Brother Sajjad Haida, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, recently we have been seeing several cases of the Quran desecration or the Quran burning all across the world, which is considered a blasphemous action, not only by Muslims, but also by all the, we can say, monotheistic believers and the followers, that disrespecting the holy texts and the holy scriptures of the religions, especially Abrahamic religions like Islam, is a blasphemous action. First of all, Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you. What are the main intentions or the reasons of these extremists doing so?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the main reason is ignorance, ignorance, and ignorance. And this is the pure reason for burning the Quran, for insulting others. And obviously, where the Quran, when we talk about the Quran, it's a holy book, you know. We talk about the Bible as a holy book.
Yes.
The Torah as a holy book. You know, there are four holy books.
Yes.
Although there are the deviations, although there are changes in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, but still you will not see any Muslim burning these books.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we are aware of these books, that these books were the books of guidance. Yes, people have changed it. On the other hand, The problem is that because people are unaware of the text of the Quran, and what they know is what is being told to them, what is being propagated. Maybe there was a speaker who basically talked wrongly about the book, who gave the wrong picture of the book. That's why some people like they do this. That's the one reason. The other reason is because of being the enemy, you know, enmity. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that is that because this book is book of guidance, this book has come to bring justice in the society. Therefore, you know, the so-called rulers of the world, or those who want to, you know, gain everything for themselves, who do not, do not care about the justice, the rights of the people, because this book is making people aware of these things, so this book has become the enemy of them.
Okay.
And therefore, they purposefully do this.
That's right.
And that's why we see, like, there are some people who are purposefully spreading the Islamophobia in the world.
Okay.
And this is purposefully is being done.
Right.
And these are the main reasons. These are the two main reasons.
And unfortunately, there is this wrong interpretation and understanding of some of the people in the world that the extremists' action, like, for example, Al-Qaeda or Daesh, ISIS, you know, are taking their teachings from the text of the Holy Quran. And this is, I think, a wrong understanding, isn't it?
They're not taking. They're being given.
Oh.
You know, this is... We need to understand that. These are the plotted people.
These are
plotted people. The wrong translations are given. Now, let me talk about the translation. I said just the translation.
Okay.
The Quran was firstly translated into Turkish language.
Uh-huh.
When we look at the history of the
lingual translations
that we have.
Okay.
It was initially was translated into Turkey, and then the Ottoman Empire.
Yes.
Like, they've stopped people from reading the Arabic text.
Uh-huh.
And they said everyone needs to read the translation so they can understand. After that, the Turkish translation of the Quran was later translated from Turkish to French.
Yes.
And after that, from French, someone translated into the English.
English language. That's
so the main problem is, you know, in the translations is that when you translate something from another language, which is not the original language, the things are being changed.
That's right.
You know, the message has been, you know, you lose the message. So the English translations initially that we had, the main issue was, and still we have some of them, is being translated from the Turkish to French and French to English.
That's right.
Whereas it is not Arabic to English directly.
Okay.
And therefore, the translator never knows what it's been said in Arabic.
That's right.
Whereas for the Arabic language, we say, for example, you know, even one word has many meanings.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there is one letter B, which is like equivalent to B.
Yes.
It has 22 meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which meaning we need to use, which meaning it's been used, the context of the, you know, sentence.
That's right.
They have ignored it.
Yes.
So these are the issues that we have faced and through which there were many people who became ignorant towards the actual text of the Quran.
Of the Quran, that's all right. So, Brother Sajjad Haydar, what do you think the main reason is for the desecration of the holiest text of the Muslims, that is the text of the Holy Quran?
Well, the first thing I would like to say is that even in any standard, in any human standard, no one will going to accept the reality that you have the right to demolish and destroy something which is against your belief.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of mentality that if you give the spreading of this mentality that you will try to destroy anything which is against your belief,
yes,
then the human society will become a jungle where the people will kill each other just because they are different in their ideas and thoughts. So there is no doubt that based on some not just religious perspective, but based on a human perspective in general, we have no right to do such an action against any kind of idea which is against my belief.
Okay.
This is the first thing which I like to say.
Okay.
The second thing which I think is influential, especially if you give a touch to the political the side of this, that why the governments are letting such thing happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that...
some of the countries even legalized
it. Legalized it. That's what I'm saying. So... You know that the Quran has a charm, it has attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone when he reads Quran is himself attracted towards Quran. So if you go to the research to study these cases where people were converted to Islam, many of them said, just by reading Quran, we know the reality that what beautiful book this is.
Yes.
So how to stop this? There are people who are thinking how to stop this book. So one of the sources is to spread the propaganda about the Quran, that this is so that they may not read the book.
Yes.
Such actions, I think they may have the plotting and some
conspiracies
yes. behind them. So
right.
no doubt that to stop the people from reading such books, or to stop people from to come to dialogue
that's
instead
right.
of so maybe there are such aims, such goals
yes.
there. Maybe
okay.
they are influential in such actions.
And what do you think the solution is? Because when the Quran is burnt, you know, sometimes we see the harsh opposition or confrontation from the side of the Muslims too, instead of, for example, answering them in a logical way. Whose responsibility is this, and what is the responsibility of the Muslim scholars? I mean, in order to answer the doubts and the questions regarding the holy text of the Quran. Because for so many non-Muslims and the atheists and the non-believers in any religion, the text of the Holy Quran is like a book and not the Word of God, the Almighty. So whose responsibility is this to make them understand that this is the Word of God?
Well, the first thing is on the shoulders of the governments.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing and for sure.
Okay.
For example, if you're in France, can you burn the flag of the France in front of the parliament?
Oh,
no. If okay. you do so, there are consequences.
Yes.
So France says like you have a freedom of speech.
Yes.
If someone says it is my feeling,
mm-hmm.
I want to express my feeling, I have a freedom of speech, and I want to burn the flag of France in front of the parliament, and the government should not say anything to me, this cannot be happened. Why? Because there are some red lines.
That's right.
There's a limitation.
Okay.
Similarly, when we talk about the religion, the books of those religions, the personalities of the religion, for example, the prophets and the books, these are the red lines for the
yes.
followers of for some religions.
Okay.
Therefore, it is the responsibility of the governments to stop people from doing such actions. And obviously, those who have legalized, obviously, they
yes.
are ignorant towards this, and they're purposefully doing something. They're following the propaganda of the enemies, basically.
Yes.
And this is the duty of the governments, first of all.
Yes.
If they want peace in the society, they have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if they do not ban this thing, if they do not stop their people, if they do not make their people aware of it,
yes.
then obviously they will have the riots, they will have, you know, the protests, they will have the misconducts in the society, and that will result in a non-peaceful or unpeaceful society.
That's right.
At the end. So
okay.
this is the duty of them. The second thing is the duty of the religious, we can say, personalities, the speakers, the scholars.
Yes.
Who needs to talk about it, who needs to tell them. Obviously, you know, when we do dialogue, even when we talk to someone in the Quran, even we have that, do not abuse the idols.
Mm-hmm.
This is the verse of the Quran.
Yes.
Do not use bad words for the idols, because if you do so, they will use the bad words for your real God. That is the real, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Quran is stopping the Muslims from having such a, you know, action against the non-Muslims, then obviously it means that the Islam is not in the favor of such things. And it is against all
yes.
these, you know,
okay.
We can say like extreme
that's right.
Activities
approaches,
that are
activities,
approaches
right.
that are happening.
Okay.
So this is the duty of the government. This is the duty of the scholars, not only Muslim scholars,
mm-hmm.
but the Christians and the other scholars who are in the, because, you know, there are many people who come to the media on the TV. There are different
yes.
shows
yes.
where the scholars or the, you know, experts, they come
yes.
and they talk about it.
Yes.
So they have to talk about the peace.
Okay.
They have to spread peace. And if
okay.
someone does not like something, he should not go towards that.
They say that the popularity of the religion of Islam is increasing. And in the last decade, the documents and the statistics show that the followers and the conversion into the religion of Islam, I'm talking about the true Islam, you know, is very much all across the world. So such plots and conspiracies, like burning the Quran by, for example, a priest or something like that, even without reading it, because somebody asked the priest, I think his name was Terry Jones or something like that, mm-hmm. who burned the Quran. I said, did you read it at all? He said, no need to reading. Okay, how is it possible not to read the Quran and then burn it? Okay, so as Sayyid said at the beginning of the program, it shows all the ignorance. Okay, Brother Sajjad Haider, anything, any point about the Holy Quran and the desecration?
Well, I think that Quran itself as a whole is a... It is actually a proof for itself. Mm-hmm. You know that any intellectual work, whether it's any written book, if it's a universal reality, you know, that any book after one or two centuries, it is challenged. Its content, because new realities come, human with it, the course of their intellectual perfection, they know new realities. And they say the person who has written a book one century ago, it was challenged, and many of its contents proved to be wrong.
Okay.
But you see, there is a book which is written in nearly more than 14 centuries ago, and it still challenges human mind. And it's just a miracle, as you know. No one can get any... no one can challenge Quran in its content. So it's still a challenge for it itself. Quran as a whole is a challenge for human. It's a proof for its own being right and being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that its challenge, its content cannot be challenged by anyone. Maybe this is one of the reasons that that's why the opponents, the people who are against Quran, instead of coming with the intellectual work, they are inclined towards burning it.
Yes.
So that's one of the proofs of it being strong.
That's all right. And I think it's a heavy responsibility on the shoulders of the Muslims to defend their own books. So I think one weak point maybe from the side of the Muslims is maybe their lack of information about the Quran too, okay? So for example, I as a Muslim must have enough knowledge about my text. So if somebody tries to burn it, I can defend it. And I can read the text of the Holy Quran in Arabic, translated it, you know, and talk about the most important parts of the Quran. So sometimes I think this is the problem from the side of the Muslims, that the Muslims, I mean the public, okay?
Yeah, that's right. The main responsibility, I think, lies on the shoulders of Muslims themselves. Because there are two aspects I'd like to say.
Okay, very good.
The first aspect is regarding their character. By our own practice, we should enlighten people.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a Muslim, I'm living in any country in the world, with my actions, with my deeds, I will show the world that a person who is obeying Quran is such
Muslim.
A person. So
that's
he
right.
may enlighten people with his action, as the Holy Prophet used to do. And the second thing, it's the duty of the intellectuals, Muslim intellectuals, or any reasonable personalities and intellectuals in the world, to tell people that Quran is what a great book, and
that's
they
right.
should, even if they don't believe, they should once read this book.
That's
I remember
right.
in one of the lectures in one of the prominent, I think it was a university there, and one of the prominent scholars of philosophy and Quranic studies in the West, he asked the audience that. Any one of you had experience of reading Quran, and there was none
mm-hmm.
in the audience
right.
who had read the Quran. So it's, I think, the second duty lies on the intellectuals, that
That's
they
right.
should clarify and enlighten people about the reality and beauty
okay.
of Quran.
And those non-Muslims who were interested in reading out the text of the Quran were changed, and most of them say
converted,
that reading the text of the Holy Quran made us convert into the religion
yeah,
of Islam.
It captures it. Actually,
okay.
it has a,
yes.
such a power.
Okay, that's all right. Any
yeah,
point?
One last point is that, you know, when we talk about Islam, obviously Islam is a religion.
Yes.
We need to know about it, and that mm-hmm. is the only book. It has only one book, and that is Quran.
Yes.
And also Supreme Leader also has said, like, if you want to the West, youth of the West, that if you want to know about the religion, know about from the main sources, which is Quran. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, when we see burning the Quran, opposing the Islam and all those things, they're because of one reason, and that is, when we look at the Quran, this is for the listeners. When you look at the Quran, when you go inside the Quran, you see that Quran is opposing some people.
Okay.
Number one, oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
Zalimeen.
Zalimeen, that's right.
Yeah. Number two, ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number three, obviously, those who want every, like, all the reserves for themselves. The capitalism, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And those who want everything, the greedy ones.
Mm-hmm.
So Quran is actually opposing these people.
That's right.
And today, if we see some people are coming and burning the Quran, it means that they are the oppressors. They do not want the message of the Quran to be spread against them.
Yes.
They are the greedy ones who wants everything for them. You know, we had 99% protesting against one person in Wall Street. They were ruling over the world. So the reserves, the wealth of the world should be distributed according to justice amongst the people, whereas there are some people who want everything. Why we see the existence of such countries, in the Arab countries, because of their oil, their reserves, and all those things.
Yes.
And they went to America even. The actual red Americans, like red Indians, like they were actual American natives, they even do not have the government in their hand right now in the USA. So basically, because Quran has opposed directly the oppressors, the zalimeen, those who want everything for themselves, that's why these people have come to fight with the Quran, and they found one way, and that is by burning the Quran, mm-hmm. or maybe this way they can spread a kind of phobia or mm-hmm. hatred against the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has revealed the Quran, yes. He is the protector of the Quran till Qiyamah, and this will be remain, inshallah.
Inshallah. Unfortunately, this burning the Quran made some people in order to go and see what is Quran, okay? So this whatness of the Quran and the question in the minds attracts the people of reading out the Quran, and Allah is the main protector of the holy text of the Quran up until the day of judgment, inshallah. Thank you, Amai Sayyid Mohsen Nawi and Brother Sajjad Haider. For your presence in the program Viewpoints, and thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan kullu man kana muhibban lahum kullu man kana muhibban lahum yadkhulu
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The Albanian government has taken yet another measure against the Mujahideen Khalq terror group, also known as the MEK. Albania's Prime Minister Edi Rama has warned that the MEK must leave his country unless it stops its anti-Iran operations. In an interview with the German media, Rama said Albania has played host to the MEK for several years, but the group is not allowed to use the country as a platform for its political operations. Rama said Albania has no intention of being at war with the Islamic Republic and does not accept anyone to abuse its hospitality. The premier rebuked the MEK's use of Albania as a trench in a war that has nothing to do with Tirana. The warning was in line with a series of actions by the Albanian government against the MEK anti-Iran terror organization. Last month, Albanian security forces conducted a number of searches at a camp where MEK terrorists are based due to what it called the group's engagement in a terror and cyber attacks against foreign institutions. Albanian authorities seized 150 computer devices linked to terror activities. Police also released drone footage of the camp minutes before the raid, showing the MEK members burning what appeared to be documents. More than a week later, Albanian police entered the MEK camp again, with security forces being deployed at its entrance and controlled all devices leaving the site. The move by the Albanian police was commended by Tehran. Iran's intelligence ministry hailed the operation as, quote, a step forward. The ministry said it had consistently warned European intelligence and security services about the group's ongoing terrorist activities from their main base there. The ministry vowed that Iran would go after terrorists beyond its borders. Albania's recent measures against the MEK comes as the group still enjoys the support of other European nations. The terror group on Saturday held a rally in France where its members gathered together in the capital, Paris, along with some politicians to call for the overthrow of the Iranian government. What comes to the spotlight here, though, is the permission granted to the group by French authorities despite repeated warnings by the Islamic Republic against any such move. Iran categorically condemned France for hosting the MEK, warning Paris against the political and legal fallout of continuing to support the outfit. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said the MEK gathering comes at a time when protests, fueled by political and social discontent, have gripped the European nation. Kanani said the move shows that Paris turns a blind eye to its own citizens' demands and continues to give political support to terror groups. But hosting the MEK by Paris is merely in line with the West's all-out support for the terror organization. On top of MEK Western backers is the United States, which has left no stone unturned to provide as much support as it possibly can. Testimony to that was a 2016 request by then-US President Barack Obama, who asked Albania to host a terror group after the organization was shunned by the government of former Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Albania is now estimated to have accommodated some 3,000 members of the terror cult. But that's just tip of the iceberg given the US's support for the terror group. In September 2012, the group was taken off the US list of terror organizations. The MEK's US assets were unfrozen and it was allowed to transact with American entities. The European Union followed suit, removing the group from its list of terror organizations. The United States, EU, Canada, and Japan had previously listed the MEK as a terror group. The MEK has carried out numerous terrorist attacks against Iranian civilians and government officials since the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979. Some 12,000 people have fallen victim to the MEK's acts of terror over the past four decades. With all such dark record of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq terror organization, the question that arises is why the West keeps supporting such terror cults. Are Western countries naively seeking to establish peace throughout the globe, or are they pursuing their own political interests? Anger is boiling across Islamic countries following the desecration of the holy book Quran in Sweden. In the latest move, Iraqi protesters in Baghdad gathered near the Swedish embassy carrying placards reading Quran is our constitution. Several other Iraqi cities witnessed similar protests. The sacrilegious act also triggered condemnations and outrage elsewhere in the Muslim world. In Bahrain, protesters chanted slogans in support of Islam and the holy book Quran. They also urged Muslims to unite. Iranian protesters also gathered outside the Swedish embassy in the capital Tehran to condemn the blasphemous act. Protesters carried signs reading "Down with the enemies of the Quran." They demanded the closure of the Swedish embassy. The move also drew reactions from Iranian government officials. President Ibrahim Raisi said the Muslim world will never overlook the recent act of sacrilege against the Holy Book Quran in a Western country. He made the remarks while addressing a Friday prayer event. Raisi said Quran was disrespected in a Western country that claims to defend the freedom of expression. Iran's foreign ministry summoned Swedish chargé d'affaires in Tehran over the recent incident. Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian expressed strong criticism of the Swedish government for allowing and supporting the desecration of the Holy Book. He said the Muslim world categorically condemns insult to Holy Scriptures and Quran. Allowing sacrilege and insult to Quran under any justification by Sweden is unacceptable. The top diplomat added misusing democracy and freedom for such behavior would only incite terrorism and extremism. Other Muslim nations also reacted. Pakistan condemned what it called a despicable act of publicly burning Quran in Sweden. Morocco recalled its ambassador to Sweden for an indefinite period. Turkey, Jordan, Qatar, Egypt, Syria, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and other Islamic nations warned such acts inflame feelings of Muslims worldwide. The sacrilege has also raised calls to boycott Swedish products. Al-Azhar University in Egypt has called for the boycott. The General Secretariat of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is also set to hold a meeting next week to discuss measures against the desecration. The reaction to Quran desecration in Sweden comes as the incident is not the first such instance in the Scandinavian nation. Earlier this year, a politician burned a copy of the Holy Book outside the Turkish embassy, drawing outrage from the Muslim world. Although such sacrilegious acts are not unprecedented in the West, what makes the recent Quran desecration in Sweden stand out is that it happened after Swedish police granted permission for the planned move despite previous international outcry against such measures. The man tore out pages from the Holy Book and set them on fire despite objections from onlookers. But taking a brief look at social media activities of Salwan Momika, the Iraqi man behind Sweden's desecration of the Holy Book, there are points that need to be addressed. First and foremost is that Momika identified himself on social media as a secular liberal atheist. That is why he has a weird type of cross tattoo on his right hand. The other factor is that Momika received a Swedish passport on February 20th, 2022. Before this date, he didn't share any anti-Islamic posts on social media platforms. Based on those activities, it is clear that Momika is either a troubled, unstable, and narcissistic man looking for attention and fame, or is backed by one or multiple political intelligence powers to create sedition and instability not only in Sweden but also in Iraq. What seems to be an interesting point here, though, is the backing NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg threw behind Momika's act, saying that the action is part of freedom of expression. If that's the case, why protesters often taking to the streets across Europe to demand the implementation of their basic rights, especially in France, are often faced with violent police crackdown?
We should not tolerate these things. We just have to say stop. It's not okay to humiliate other people. So,
freedom of speech is very important, but I think burning a religious book, it's not freedom of speech. It's another thing, it's a provocation.
Taking a brief look at the recent history of Europe, it clearly indicates that such blasphemous acts not only have violated the rights of the people of the world, but they have also added fuel to the fire of extremism and terrorism, as Iran's foreign minister put it.
France is burning. Torched vehicles, buildings on fire, property damage, and looting. The level of anger and frustration can be heard in these screams. And it's over this. Just like that, a life was snuffed out. A brutal murder by French police over a traffic stop. And this is the victim, a teenager of Algerian and Moroccan descent, only 17 years old. Reactions from French officials, including the French president, though sympathetic, had a sense of disconnect from the general public. Meanwhile, the French Interior Ministry displayed a total disconnect, and that they did. Over 45,000 police officers deployed so far. Number of arrests, around 2,500. Number of injuries, hundreds of civilians, mainly by police officers, and over 200 police officers. And these are figures up to this day, Saturday, which are sure to rise if the protests continue. And as to how widespread these protests are, this is a map showing how many towns are now engulfed. The unrest has revived memories of 3 weeks of nationwide riots back in 2005 that forced then-President Jacques Chirac to declare a state of emergency following the death of two young men electrocuted in a power substation as they hid from police. As shocking as the murder of this young teen is, it is representative of major shortcomings in the French society. One of them is racism and police brutality, as weighed in by the UN.
We also emphasize the importance of peaceful assembly. We call on the authorities to ensure use of force by police to address violent elements in demonstrations always respects the principles of legality, necessity, proportionality, non-discrimination, precaution, and accountability.
Additionally, the fatal shooting has fed into long-standing complaints of police violence from within the low-income, racially mixed suburbs and major cities in France. But French police have been guilty of excessive use of force over the cost of living crisis, especially during the days of the Yellow Vest protest movement. A brief history check reveals that in 1968, protests erupted in Nanterre, the epicenter of the current protests. Those protests, which began over student reform, led to a revolt against the state, which had morphed into a cost-of-living protest. 3 days before then-President Charles de Gaulle's address, the communists negotiated the Grenelle Accords, under whose terms workers would receive substantial wage increases and better working conditions. But the French government did not learn its lessons from those protests, which had almost led to a revolution. To this day, the poor and racially mixed urban communities of France are neglected by the government. After the 2005 riots, then-President Nicolas Sarkozy, elected in 2007, had promised a Marshall Plan to improve life there, but that did not translate into concrete results. Then the socialist ex-president François Hollande came to power promising an end to the ghettos. That ended up with the same fate. And the current president has also failed to improve the quality of life for these residents of not only French living in these areas, but for France as a whole. And these are some of the economic figures that France is facing. With all of these factors tearing into the French society, this French president has his handful when it comes to addressing these problems. But hopes can't be pinned on a president who tramples on democracy through fast-track legislation, like he did with the retirement age without a vote. Instead, there should be more attention given to the needs of the French, especially the ones living in underprivileged areas, before darker consequences of this alienation proves irreversible for the French president.
The first UN investigator allowed inside the notorious US prison at Guantanamo Bay said the 30 remaining detainees in the facility are facing ongoing cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment under international law. UN Special Rapporteur Fionnuala Niall-Lane issued a report on the facility and told reporters in New York that significant improvements have been made in Gitmo since torture at the prison was exposed, but said the 30 men who remain are living with their past experiences. The UN inspector reserved some of her harshest criticism for the fact that 19 of the 30 detainees have never been charged with any crime, some of whom have been held in the military camp for 2 decades. She said their situation was a matter of profound concern. The problem was compounded by the post-9/11 CIA torture program, which has become a roadblock for some of the detainees going to trial. The UN inspector said that continued internment of some men flowed from the unwillingness of the authorities to face the consequences of the torture and other ill treatment to which the detainees were subjected and not from any ongoing threat they are believed to pose. The UN inspector said that the use of torture had also been a betrayal of the rights of victims and called for an apology and guarantees that the abuses would not happen again. She also said, The detainees' past experiences of torture live with them in the present without any obvious end in sight, including because they have not received any adequate torture rehabilitation to date. She said the 30 men still face harsh treatment, including constant surveillance, forced removal from their cells, and the unjust use of restraints. Monday marked the UN observance of the International Day in Support of Victims of Torture. The U.S. State Department issued a statement that said the U.S. reaffirms its condemnation of torture wherever and whenever it occurs and stands in solidarity with victims and survivors of torture around the world. The statement comes as the Biden administration is seeking the extradition of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange for his role in exposing U.S. war crimes. Assange has been held in London's Belmarsh prison on no charges since April 2019. Nils Melzer, a Swiss professor who served as a U.N. Special Rapporteur on Torture from 2016 to 2022, determined that Assange's treatment amounts to prolonged psychological torture. The U.S. government gave its response to the U.N. report in a one-page letter from the Ambassador to the Human Rights Council, Michelle Taylor. It said that the U.S. believed that all U.N. member states should be willing to open themselves to the scrutiny of outside observers. But Taylor added that the U.S. was confident that the conditions of confinement at Guantanamo Bay are humane and reflect the United States' respect for and protection of human rights for all who are within our custody. In May, The Guardian published a series of detailed drawings and writings by Abu Zubaydah, which give the most comprehensive account yet seen of the torture to which he and other detainees were subjected by the CIA. Zubaydah is known as a forever prisoner. He's being held at Guantanamo, having never been charged and with no prospect of release. Many of the individuals who were tortured under the CIA program have endured severe ongoing psychological and physical damage and trauma as a result. The Guantanamo Bay prison was set up in 2002 by then U.S. President George W. Bush and held about 800 inmates at its peak before the numbers started to shrink. President Joe Biden had promised to close the facility, but has yet to present a plan to do so. Human rights advocates are increasingly frustrated with Biden for failing to deliver on his pledge to close the prison, leaving inmates languishing in the notorious offshore detention center with no end in sight. The case of America's hypocritical actions in the field of human rights is something that has attracted the attention not only of international critics, but also of American experts. America's blatant crimes against humanity, including the wars in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and the brutal torture in Abu Ghraib, Bagram, and Guantanamo Bay prisons, are not hidden from anyone. And, of course, the United States has the most inhumane human rights record with its full support of Israel.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Ayah 37 of Surah An-Nisa on page 84. Four. Brothers and sisters, turn to page 84, Ayah 37 of Surah An-Nisa, inshallah. So, let's listen to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا.
That was nice. Nice recitation. So now, inshallah, we'll mention some important points about this ayah. Then we'll move on to the practical tajweed rules, inshallah. So, let me read once. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah Almighty says in this ayah, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Allah Almighty says, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ, those who are stingy, وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْبُخْلِ, and bid others, invite others, okay? Command other people to be stingy. Who are they? مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. In the previous ayah that Allah Almighty says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Who are مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا? Those who are swaggering braggarts, okay? الَّذِينَ, those who are stingy. Okay, stingy. In the previous ayah, Allah Almighty was talking about being good to the parents, being good to the neighbors, being good to the orphans, relatives, friends, these things, okay? Ibn Sabil, for example, Allah Almighty was saying these things, yeah? In commanding us to be good to them. And we say that there are many steps for being good, yeah? How to be good. Sometimes they need money, help them with money if you have. Sometimes they need what? Like, you need to support them.
Motivate.
Like, motivate them. Okay? Support them. Sometimes they, for example, if you have, for example, enough ability, enough time, enough energy to help them, for example, with some studies, help them. Sometimes, for example, they have guests, a lot of guests, okay? And they don't have any room for their guests, okay? Like their house, they have a small house, okay? But they have a lot of guests, okay? So if you have a room free, okay? Invite his guests in your house, okay? And let them stay there at night, okay? If you have free, for example, room for them. This is also called what? Being good to the neighbors. Nowadays it happens, okay? Sometimes people don't have that much money, okay? For example, to rent what? A hall, for example. A hall, okay? So what do they do? For example, for their like guests, okay, they ask their neighbors, okay, that is it possible that our guests tonight, we have, for example, a majlis, a khatm, okay, khatmul Quran, for example, we have a rawda, for example, here. Can our guests like stay in your home tonight? They will say, yeah, this is called being good to the neighbors. That's all. So if somebody does not say, no way, I don't like, it's not my guest, okay, it's your guest, none of my business. Then we say, your neighbor, please, let's be good to each other. I don't care about you. I have nothing to do with you. Neighbor, okay, I don't care. If somebody is like this, Allah Almighty does not like them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Those who are stingy, look, stingy. Or he has money, enough money, okay? He can afford his expenses. He can fund his, for example, children. So he has enough, like, money in his account, so he can help an orphan go to school. Like, for example, that orphan, he doesn't have a dad, he doesn't have good economy, okay? He cannot fund himself to go to, for example, a language center, to go to a Quran class, okay? To go to, for example, a computer class, a sport, okay? So he is really suffering this, like everybody goes and he can't, he's really in trouble. So if you have, fund him, give him 60 thumans to go and join the, for example, a computer class, to join a language class, to join, for example, a Quran class, to join, for example, what? A sport class. It's really good. Don't be stingy. So Allah Almighty says, الَّذِينَ يَبْخُلُونَ, those who are مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا, that Allah Almighty does not love them, does not like them, is those who are stingy, and also don't invite other people as well to be stingy. Yeah? So don't be, at least don't be this bad, okay? This bad. So, but مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا are those who are stingy and they يَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْبُخْلِ and bid others also to be stingy. وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ and conceal whatever Allah has given them out of His grace. Really, sometimes it happens, okay? Then Allah Almighty says, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ and we have prepared for the faithless people, those who don't care, those who do not do the worship of Allah. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا those who do not worship Allah and they ascribe partners to Allah Almighty, that in previous ayah we talked about this. So Allah Almighty says what? And we have prepared for the faithless a humiliating punishment, a severe punishment. That's all.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
We'll, inshallah, mention the tajweed rules, the important ones, right after, like, we finished the explanation. Actually, we finished. That's enough, I think, okay? Our brothers and sisters, Fawad and Ali Nasir, inshallah, refer to the Tafasir books to learn more. All right? Okay? About this verse.
Yes.
You have any questions?
No.
No? So, brothers and sisters, let's move on to the important tajweed rules in this ayah. الَّذِينَ يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا. So, can you explain some of the rules for what?
Mm-hmm. In the first word, Alladhina,
mm-hmm.
it has Lamu Ta'rif.
Lamu Ta'rif, so?
You assign Hamzatul Wasl with a Fatha.
Ah, good job. Whenever you have Lamu Ta'rif in a word, that word is what? A noun.
Yes.
So for these kind of nouns, whenever you want to read the Hamzatul Wasl, pronounce the Hamzatul Wasl, you must assign it with Fatha. Put a Fatha on the top. Alladhina. Alhamdulillah Ar-Rahman. Right? That's it. Very easy. So here, Alladhina Yabkhaluna. The next point, Dhal, pronounce the Dhal correctly, Kha correctly, next letters, Hamza correctly, Wa ya'muruna an-nasa bil bukhli Wa yaktumuna ma ata
Hum.
Hum, the ha, pronounce yeah. it correctly. Mullahu, correctly. Min fadlihi.
Dad,
correctly. Wa a'r. Tadan.
Ayn.
A and ayn. Hamza and ayn.
A'r.
Sometimes students might say a'r. This is not a'r. This is a'r. Or sometimes they will say a'r. They mix them up, okay? So pronounce the a first and then ayn. A'r. Read it, Ali Nasir. Ahsan. For what? Huh? Come on, do it. He's shy. Okay. Wa'a'tadna. So, then the next letter, which is important here, is dhal we mentioned. That's all. These letters are important, okay? Now, let's get back to the word yabkhaluna. Two important rules are here. One, with the letter ba, and yes. the next one with the letter kha. So ba is sakin here. Appears sakin, no vowels. So what do you do with this?
We produce a bouncing sound.
Ah, good job. Echoing sound. Yab, yab. Not a haraka, not a vowel sound. Yabano, yab, yab.
The letter.
Yeah. Yab khaluna Now the letter kha.
It's pronounced heavily.
Heavily. It's a heavy letter. وَيَبْخَلُونَ. Not خَالُونَ, no. Because it doesn't have an alif. يَبْخَلُونَ. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ. Na, وَيَأْمُرُونَ. Then annas, noon is joined with the noon, okay? Hamzatul wasl will be skipped here. Lam al-tarif will be skipped here. Because right after the lam al-tarif, we have the letter noon, which is a sun letter. Sun letter. Amongst the sun letter, so you skip lam al-tarif here. وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ. And also, when you join noon to the noon, all right, what happens? You merge them together and nasal
sound
is produced, okay? وَيَأْمُرُونَ This nasal sound. Extend the sound for 2 beats.
وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ
وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. This mad ma is jaiz. You can skip it, yes, or extend.
Yes.
وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Pronounce the word Allah with a heavy sound. Allah, like this. مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. مِنْ نُنْ سَاكِن plus فَا.
إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى. Hide the sound. مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Nasal sound. مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Extend the sound also. مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. وَأَعْتَدْنَا This is not Hamzatul Wasl. وَأَعْتَدْنَا, no. وَأَعْتَدْنَا. This is Hamzatul Qat'a. You have to read it. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. أَعْتَدْنَا, also dal. Yes. لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينَ. Ali Nasir, tell us. عَذَابًا. بَمْ مُهِينَ. Right, merge it. A nasal sound, extended for 2 counts.
وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا.
Tanween na, it's because tanween fatha whenever appears at the end, you stop there, and if you stop, you change the tanween fatha to an a sound. Muhina. So, it's time for us to practice the recitation. Now, because we have learned the tajweed rules, let's practice it where they... Let's practice this ayah, the recitation, with the tajweed rules. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thanks for being with us up to this point. It's the last part of our class. Let's practice all together. Listen and repeat after me.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله
الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله
أحسنتم ما شاء الله من فضله ويأمرون همزة يأمرون
وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا
وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا
ما شاء الله الله bless you إن شاء الله. That's all for today, brothers and sisters. Stay with IRB English Radio إن شاء الله. Thank you so much, Fawad and Ali Nasir. Thanks for being with us today, inshallah, we'll be here with you. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن.